personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right away we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you along. We are live here at the, myself and a bunch of other folks down here for the 92nd Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo Day 1. Cannon Blast was at 5 this morning, and the fishing has begun. And, you know, it's been interesting, too. So, you know, so many texts I had gotten earlier in the week. Are they going to cancel the rodeo, this and that and the other? There's been rain showers, but this is not much different than, you know, that we've had in a normal summertime, you know, a summertime weekend here. So, yeah, fish this morning. There were some showers out there. Now, offshore, kind of rough. I don't think I need to tell anybody that. But, yeah, it's still having fun down here at the island. So, hopefully, if you get a chance to come by and see us, the FM Talk 106.5 van, you will see the, or the mobile command unit, you'll see us here along the, I guess we're on the eastern side of the rodeo site. And if you stop by, I've got some goodies to hook you up with. But wait for me to, like, go to a commercial break or something like that when you do, and then we'll get you hooked up with some logoed gear when you come on down to the rodeo. Plus tomorrow, a special show from 11 to noon, live here from the rodeo, giving you an update on day 2 of the rodeo. I know it's looked good this far. There's fish coming in. We weighed fish in this morning. There were other fish being weighed in, so there's stuff to see already if you want to come down here on your Friday. All right, a couple things too, lining up for the show today. Joining me here in just a little bit, he is the mayor, so of course he's going to be on. I always like to have Jeff Collier on, mayor of the town of Dauphin Island. He joins me a little after 12:30. Plus, Dr. Sean Powers from the Dauphin Island Sea Lab and the University of South Alabama Marine Sciences. He's going to join us as well. So that's coming up. And also probably an appearance, I think, supposed to be appearance from some of the JCs down here. We'll see. They were, I think, they're nursing wounds after night one last night after the Liars contest. And by the way, thank you. All y'all came out to the Liars contest. Good to meet so many people last night. People I see each year at the Liars contest and new people as well. So I enjoyed that. And two things. I'm trying to pick up on this. I heard Jeff's conversation with Senator Elliott there. That is that's something that we have both our senators, are saying, you know what, we're not going to do this thin layer displacement, the dumping in the bay. And to hear that they have, at least according to what was said by Senator Elliott, now he said he had it secondhand, did not get it from the Corps, but I sound pretty pretty certain of what he was saying, that the Corps is still going to do it, even though the people that fund them, right, Congress, at least in the case here, the Senate has said, you know what, we're not going to do this, and here we sit. So that's going to be interesting. We'll dig into that coming up. Hopefully, by the time we get to Monday, I'll have more information for you on that. So check it out. Also, you can hit us up on the text line at 343-0106. Probably not phone calls today, because it's a little hard down here. But we will get your text. Speaking of which, let's see here. Is this that's conversation. The people, listen, I saw that where somebody was said something to Jeff about he's on a station that calls itself conservative. Let's see. Yeah, he says, the problem is a radio station that calls itself conservative that would sell out for money and now allow a show like that. Talking about Sweet Home Cannabama. Let's talk about that for a second. I'm whoever you are, unnamed texter, or maybe you have a name there. Since I created the station, did I ever say, I mean, there's a bunch of conservatives on here. There's a bunch of us that are conservative. But is there anything I said that there was no other kind of show on here? There's sports shows on here. There's, you know, special interest shows on here. There are gardening shows on here. We are a, like radio used to be, a full-service station. Yes, there's a bunch of us that are conservative that talk on the station, but the idea that because one show's on one part of the day, then a show with a different opinion couldn't be on at another part of the day, that's, I think that's not what we do. That's not the idea around here, so... So there you go. Now, listen, the beauty is, if you don't like that show, you don't listen to that show, you don't listen to that show. No need, you know, you don't have to. There'll be another show. You wait an hour, there's another show that maybe fits with what you want to hear a little bit better. But we can continue that conversation on the text line. All right, let's see. I know this came up because of the discussion here. And we've had this discussion on the show quite a few times. One of the frustrations I've had, and I've had Jennifer Boozer from Canabama on with me, you know, the... Like the story here from WKRG, it says Mobile hemp businesses struggle after Alabama's new bill. Absolutely, they're struggling. But here, the thing that gets me most here, and I've talked about it with Sheriff Lowry the other day when he was on with me from Baldwin County, is not knowing what's legal and illegal on this. So, the easy part of this is the smokable stuff is illegal, right? The hemp products that are smokable, the flower, all that illegal. All right, that was pretty clear in HB 445. The problem was the idea, if you read down below it, it says synthetics would also be against the law. But what's a synthetic? What's a synthetic here? You look at if you have, even though they say the gummies are fine at certain milligrams, but that's a synthetic. When people like Jennifer Boozer and I have talked, she said in contacting the state, they can't tell her what's legal, and other than saying the flower and the smokable is illegal, they can't tell her what's illegal. Well, that's a problem. If there's, let's take it out of the world of this hemp product and make it whatever. Okay, listen, I'm down here fishing, right? I like to fish. If I can't call Scott Bannon, the state, or anybody, and ask, hey, am I allowed to keep Red Snapper right now? And so, I don't know. I don't know. We're really not clear on that law. I mean, what are you supposed to do? You know, the legislature passes a law, but it's not clear enough for Aaliyah at the state level to be able to enforce it to know what's legal and what's not legal. At least they can't tell the store owners, and that to me is beyond frustrating. So that's. You can say, okay, well, you can't have the smokable. We get that. That part's fine. It makes sense. It doesn't make sense. It is clear. The law is clear. But when you get into the other synthetic, here it is in the story. It said, synthetic forms of THC, okay? Synthetic forms of THC were made illegal to use or sell. Also, the bill enforced limits on potency of gummies and THC drinks. Now, of course, the THC synthesized. Couldn't you say if you put it in a drink, and help me out here, if you make any changes to something in a synthetic, either the grammar police can help me on this one or somebody who's... what level do you have to adjust? If you put THC in a drink, right? So they sell them at the grocery stores, got the whatever the wacky soda, whatever it is. If you put CBD or THC in it, haven't you synthesized it into a new form? So why are... that's what I'm saying. There's no clear on the synthesis... There's no clear definition, at least coming from the state. So I do feel for the people that are in the businesses they have built with what was legal. It's not like they did something that was illegal and then finally got caught. They were doing something that was legal. And then they changed the law. Okay. But they can't tell them exactly what part of the law now is, other than the smokable product, the flower part, what part could get them put in jail and their money taken. So... Right. Let's see. All right. Got people texting here. We'll talk a little bit about the dredging, too, when we come back. 343-0106. Plus, a man that I've talked about dredging over the years, mayor of Dolphin Island, Jeff Collier, joins us in about 15 minutes. Be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, live from the 92nd Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. And a quick traffic update here. Thank you, Terry. Said multiple crashes, 65 southbound from airport. Traffic is backed up past Dolphin. So take care there. Southbound 65 We'll keep up to date on that through the text line, and Leanna can help me watch that as well. And you can always drop your text at 343-0106. Right now, let's check in with my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hello, Anna.
Hello.
Are you going to bring more? Like last time you and I talked, we were talking about coins, and all of a sudden you said, hey, we've got more of the zombie animal coins in here. Is this... People want these? They're like cute, cuddly animals that are like zombified? What's going on here?
Yes. They are 1 ounce of fine silver. It's a silver round. It's not actual, you know, zombucks or currency of the apocalypse. It's just a novelty thing. But yes, they feature different animals over the world that they've released previously with different world coins, but they're all zombified animals. And the most recent one is an elephant and a bull.
And there's zombie elephants and zombie bull.
Yes.
Okay. For somebody who doesn't want a zombie on their coin or their silver, what else you have? Any other choices that are not zombies?
Oh yeah, we have all kinds of different themed coins. We have, you know, birthdays. We have different animals that are not zombies. You know, they have birds, they have dolphins, unicorns, even unicorns. So mythical creatures as well, dragons.
So you have mythical creatures, but they're not zombie mythical creatures. They're just regular.
No, just regular. You know, mythical creatures. Nothing else is zombified, but the zombucks.
Okay. Also, just in general, of course, we're talking about silver prices. We talk about gold a whole bunch, but silver's had its own, pretty good couple weeks here.
Oh, yeah. It's making an up run again. It's over $38 an ounce.
And gold, where's it sitting?
Gold is just under $3,400. It's kind of like a touch and go.
Yeah, you just have to be accurate the second I ask you. All right, listen, if people want to get the latest on precious metals or zombie coins or all the different jewelry items in the store, tell them how to find you.
Yes, sir. They can find me at 2204 Government Street, or they can call the store. Our phone number is 251-725-1590.
Hey, thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
All right, there's Anna checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And, I'm sorry, I was checking this during the break. I was doing good on the board. You know, the rodeo's online, so you see the constant updates here. I'm so old. How old are you? I'm so old that we used to have to get on the phone and call somebody to come down and look at the board and see what was up. But, of course, now, over the last decade and a half or so, it's all online. And so I could see myself move down the speckled trout ranks as I do the radio show. But that's okay. We'll push on. More time to fish. All right, from the text line here, Michelle, why not put the dredge on Gilliard Island? Right, so this will go back we've had many discussions over time, and this will be good to get Mayor Collier in as well, because we talked about it in reference to Dolphin Island in the past. So the Corps has been tasked with the lowest cost, unless they're told otherwise, the Corps of Engineers uses the lowest cost removal method, right? That's why just taking it offshore down at this end of the bay has been what they do, is lower cost. That's, Gilliard Island was dredge spoiled from Theodore Industrial Canal. I don't think they could use it anymore for that dredge spoil, but they have to be told. That's what I thought Senator Britt and Senator Tuberville did, 2-3 weeks ago, is said, yes, you can use another method, beneficial use. Now, the Corps has been doing some beneficial use projects, but they want to be able to use some beneficial use and some thin layer displacement. But now, the way I understood what happened a couple weeks ago, and we go back and look at the story, the senators said, you're going to do it this way. You get funded through us. You're going to do it this way. And they're still not doing it. So that's the part that leaves me scratching my head. So that's probably what they're going back to and saying why they're not doing it. But I don't know why now. So to answer your question, Michelle, that's why they didn't put it on Gilliard Island. But what the heck is going on with it now, I do not know. All right, let's see. Is this Michael? Yeah. All right. This is the texter talking about Canabama is goofy. Y'all regularly have liberals on, too. Robert Kennedy, Quinn, and I guess you can call Parker Griffith a semi-liberal. We have all kind of different voices. There's no, somebody needs to be informative and interesting, but there's no... rule. Now, each show could say, hey, Jeff says, I have this guy on, or I don't want to have that guy on. That's fine, but there's not like a what happens on one show affecting a show that comes on later that night or something like that. Let's see. Let's go. Fire Dog. What's up, Fire Dog? So the dredging continues, and Nanny Nanny Boo Boo, you can't stop me. I mean, that's kind of what it's like. At least that's... Now, once again, Senator Elliott said it on Jeff's show, and he said he got it secondhand, so I want to make sure we lay all that out. But he's hearing that, and I don't know how that's possible. If the Senate said, hey, you're going to do it this way, because there are other ports in the nation that do it the way we're asking, to use them for beneficial use upwind, not thin layer displacement in their bays or their estuaries. I think Charleston, Savannah or Charleston's one of them. Somebody said they were doing that in Biloxi and maybe Jacksonville. So it's happening elsewhere. And I think they just basically, in way I understood the story, our senator said, hey, do that in Mobile. So I thought that was solved. I mean, they're still going to have to listen. Right now, the dredging that's been going on to achieve the new depth and width of the ship channel had to happen for us to be this, you know, and I don't think we have to go through this. I'm pro the port. I'm happy about the port. I want to keep the ship channel deep and widened. But they had to get it to that point. Now they're going to have to do maintenance. And that was what Mobile Baykeeper was even asking. It's not even, you know, now, but going forward with maintenance, at that point, you got to do something other than thin layer displacement. But the way I'm hearing this is they're not. So I got to dig into this more. So, yeah, and Senator Elliott, if you're listening, please text me. Let me know what you heard. Let's see here. Fire Dog continued to say, I didn't know my life was missing gold zombie coins, the things you learn. I have a lot of fun with that, Fire Dog. So, Anna, every time I talk to her, she's like, hey, we got some more zombie coins in. I'm like, don't you have anything that's not a zombie? And they do. They have a big selection, but it's a little back and forth between us. Let's see. Terry says, here's an idea for the deep sea fishing rodeo category. Let's have an invasive species category, and the winner is the one with the most pounds of invasive species. Okay, so we do that with lionfish, right? So that's happened in the past with in lionfish. I can see if we have a category. I'll check when the rodeo boys get in here. Check if we have that in this year's rodeo. You could do what other invasive species down here we would deal with. It'd be just pretty much lionfish. Trying to think anything else in our waters fish-wise. It would be, you know, I know snook and other fish have showed up, but we want those. So, let's see. Michael continues to ring this bell. His theory is that Lanyap's hard left. He said, and Lanyap guys are hard left, and they're on the station all the time. There you go. All right, let's see. No, I don't. People ask me, like, old school, hey, can you go update us from the leaderboard? No, you can go on ADSFR.com, and there's an updated leaderboard, and you can see how far I got pushed down in the last hour here for speckled trout. Let's see. Yeah, so the other part, yes, I'm asking about the licensing on the CBD stores. That's something that I'm going to have Jennifer Boozer come back on the show and talk about. That in addition to these other questions, I would be frustrated too if I was a business owner and I called the people that were enforcing the law and asked them, hey, what's the law on this other stuff? And they couldn't tell you. I don't think that, I mean, it's just not acceptable to me. But on top of that, and I'll have Jennifer clear this up for me, that they have to have a license now to operate. Okay. And I think she and a lot of stores were asking to be licensed in the past. They have to have a license to operate. And they'll get shut down if they don't have a license to operate. But the licenses aren't available till January 1 of 26. I mean, it seems like there's like all kind of catch-22s running through this thing. I mean, it really would be frustrating if you're trying to be in that business. I mean, you could say you don't like the business, fine. But if you're selling whatever, you're selling hamburgers, and you call the state health department and they can't tell you what kind of hamburger is legal or not legal, I mean, that's tough to do business that way. All right, we come back, we'll get your questions hopefully answered or comments into the mix at 343-0106, 343-0106. Mayor Collier joins us coming up, also Sean Powers, and we may gather up some JCs, although I think one of them told me they were relaxing or something right now. So, I don't know, rest up, boys. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Rodeo Friday. Enjoying the time down here. Got to fish and then do a radio show on my favorite place to be, on the island. And the mayor is here, the town of Dauphin Island, Jeff Collier. Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you, Sean.
We had a big turnout last night. Here's the thing, sir. You know how this happens every year. We talk about the weather at the rodeo. So I was just wait 5 minutes and it changes. I mean, we've had this conversation before, but starting like Tuesday or Wednesday with this low going at the Gulf, people were like, are the JCs going to cancel the rodeo? Yeah. I said, no, it takes a lot for them to cancel the rodeo.
That's right. That's right. You know, and I've said to them, and I know it's always been discussed. I'm talking way back in the day. Even the old timers always said, you know, hey, if it was a drought, wait till rodeo and we'll get a little rain.
That's
you know?
Right. That's right.
So, but the thing of it is, I mean, you know, that's part of a fishing tournament is dealing with the elements,
yep.
right? I mean, it's not just trying to catch fish, but it's dealing with the winds and the waves and the tides and all those things is part of what goes into finding the best fisherman,
yeah,
you know, or fisher person.
Well, and it was evident today. Now we fished inshore. We're inshore fishing, and I mean, really we never got rained on. When we were weighing in fish, it rained, but we were underneath the cover there.
Yep.
I did see some brave souls that were weighing in smaller boats came in weighing king mackerel in, and you know they were out front getting those. And I looked at them and I just saluted them. I said, "Well,
that's right.
Good for you. You took the challenge and went with it."
They might deserve a little small trophy.
I think just for going out front today, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And so I want to read a couple of these texts, and then I want to we'll pivot into or just keep talking about it, because something you and I have been talking about a long time before it became the subject du jour. Joe says, would guess since dredging is underway, contracts would have to be changed, rebid to change disposal methods. So one of the things we're talking about here is going forward. That was the conversation. It's like there was the dredging that was done to deepen and widen the ship channel, but then you have to keep dredging, you know, to keep it deepened and widened, just like we did at the previous depth. So that's what we're asking here. David says, this is what I was saying earlier, the Corps is required to use the least cost disposable method, but the thin layer displacement form a one-time deepening is a fraction of the sediment load transported versus via the Mobile River. And their sedimentation originating from development in Mobile and Baldwin counties. So this is the thing I've always talked about, too. It's tougher to talk about this turbidity in the bay because there's natural turbidity in the bay. That's why it's so. That's why we got a bunch of shrimp and crabs and fish and all that stuff because of what comes down the rivers. But it's just like eating. You got to eat to stay alive. There's a certain amount that has to be in our system. But this is overeating in it, in my opinion, looking at it. So it's just interesting, David, to say. The way I understood it, and Mayor helped me, when I heard it was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever, when Senators Britt and Tuberville said we're going to change this, I thought it was a done deal.
Well, I think it's a very complex issue, quite frankly. But you know, and I don't know certainly all the details of that at all. But you and I, as you know, have talked about it for a number of years.
Yes,
of the beneficial use. Of course, our discussion was more about beach quality sand,
yes.
and that's a difference as well.
And but, that's one thing people think: you dredge down here, you get a different kind of dredge than you do, you know, up by the mouth of the river.
But I think you know, I would just say a few things. First of all, as you alluded to, the channel's there. It's going to have to be dredged in perpetuity. And there's going to be, over time, you know, when you talk about putting it somewhere else, that other place or that somewhere else has to have the capacity to take all that material, or they're going to have to keep finding new places. And certainly beneficial use is a good go-to.
Mm-hmm.
But and then the other part of this, too, is funding. You know, that's where I was thinking when I heard this come out of Congress, as you were saying, or senators and making the comments, which I think great. It's good that we are looking for a better way. But in most cases, those better ways sometime are going to come with a higher price tag, which is going to mean Congress is going to likely have to appropriate some additional funding in order to facilitate that change of placement. And so I think you got those kind of things that are going on in the background, and how they get it worked out long term, I don't know. But I don't disagree that certainly there is probably a better way, and hopefully we can collectively get there. And again, my focus has always been the fact that, to me, it's quite simple. You know, we've got good beach quality sand that falls in the channel that we don't need it there, and we're just a stone's throw away, sand starved. But and I've also said this to you too, Sean. We have had our relationship with the Corps and communication with the Corps has been tremendously improved over the last handful of years. I mean, we have regular conference calls with them, and we know what they're doing, and they know what we're doing when it comes to beneficial use as far as sand placement, restoration projects. We're on a really good path as far as the Dolphin Island itself and working with the Corps. But that's a little bit different than what the idea of the bay.
Well, and I'll say this. The reason, y'all, for all these years I've been able to say, well, it's least cost disposal method and all that, is I learned it years ago from Mayor Collier talking about it. And to go back in time, what we were talking about back then, and this is the thing, too. It's one hand not knowing what the other is doing, at least the way I used to see it, is they were dredging the beach sand from the south end of the channel here, mm-hmm. and they were taking it offshore. Right, so that's a disposal method, which is something I think we could talk about for the other sediment, but they're taking it offshore. Mm-hmm. We had some unfortunate weather events. We had some hurricanes here mm-hmm. and robbed a lot of sand off the beach. So then the federal government has to come and pay to put sand on the yes. beach when you want to go, guys, y'all, yes. Y'all had it. You just took offshore. If you just yes. put it, you know, maybe the least cost disposal method in a given day for the Corps was taking it offshore, but over a decade, it's cheaper to put it on the island.
I agree, and you just said what I said a whole lot of times over the last couple of decades, but that's exactly what we're working on now. As I mentioned to you, we're working toward what's called a programmatic permit. We're going to be looking for areas that are specifically beneficial for beach quality sand placement, mainly along the Gulf fronting beach areas, that we're trying to connect those dots so that as they get sand and ready to be dredged out of the chip channel, they will notify us in advance and say, hey, Town of Dolphin Island, we're going to have about 1 million cubic yards coming up here in the next 6-8 months. Do you want it? And then secondly,
and the answer is always yes.
Well, yeah. Well, and of course, there's money involved on our end too. But yeah, so definitely we'd like to have it. Then we'd have to decide where does the placement need to go. And then they'll tell us what the cost differential is going to be that we would be responsible for. So that's how that process would work forward.
I'm thinking about it. Is it because of proximity or distance from the ship channel? Like, if they're going to put it just right there at Pelican Island or something like that, it's a lot cheaper than the West End.
What they're going to do is they're going to say, okay, if you don't want it, we're going to put it in point A, mm-hmm. but if you want it at point B, here's that cost differential
between
of moving
A and B.
Right.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about. And of course, that's, even though there's a cost involved with that, we're going to be probably, 10 cents on the dollar at that mm-hmm. particular point. So it's going to be beneficial for us as well and give them an alternative place to put it on that first move, as you just alluded to.
Right, which I would tell, as a mayor, I would look at the feds and say, I'm saving you money.
That's correct.
I'm saving your
that's
money.
That's correct. And
because you're going to have to bring sand in here, right?
I agree. And I really think, from what I understand and our communication with the Corps in the last few years, it seems like that is what the Corps is really moving toward. As I said, I don't know if it was our conversations here on the radio once in a while, but I'd like to take a little bit of credit for it. But
you should.
I think it's something that they have really bought into, and it's going to benefit them as well to the extent that you just discussed, that we can take the material, put it in the most beneficial place on the first time, and don't try to move it 2 or 3 times after the fact, and that's really what it boils down to. But I know there's complications to that, permitting and all the other things that go about that I don't really have a lot of knowledge about.
It seems like if, and I don't know, I need to go back and see in depth what our senator said, but it's like, if they could unshackle the Corps and say, y'all can do these things, you're permitted to do these things, we'll fund it, because it's federal money.
Yes.
We're going to permit you to do these things. Okay. Is the Corps, and this is what I don't know, I'd love to have somebody on to tell me, if these encumbrances were taken off, would y'all do this? Mm-hmm. Do more of this?
Yeah. And, of course, I can't answer for them, but I know that there are, if there's a different cost in funding, as you've alluded to, that would have to be overcome. And let me say this to your listeners. I don't want them to be thinking that, Mayor Collier's putting a price tag on the health of Mobile Bay.
Right.
I'm not saying that at all. I advocate for additional federal funding to help do these things that we're talking about. So, yeah, anything that we can do that's going to be better and more environmentally sound and all those things, sign me up.
Yes.
You know, I'm for that. But I'm just saying that I do know a little bit that on the Washington, D.C. end, on the congressional end, getting money appropriated and all that is sometimes a challenge. And I think that's the other piece of that equation that is probably going to have to happen.
And hopefully it does. Hopefully it does going forward. By the way, too, and I've gotten like J.C. has been texting about man-made islands. We get it. We understand there's been a discussion about that up the bay. With the man-made islands, these are beneficial use projects. So those have been discussed, JC. But the problem is, right now, they're still saying that a portion would still be thin layer displacement. Some would go to beneficial use. Buddy asked you, Mayor, to bring back Dolphin Island Pier. Well, it's not gone anywhere. It's there.
Yeah. Well, buddy, I don't know what to tell you here. I just know it's there. I mean, you know, we haven't taken it away. It's there. But you've really got it like one of the liars last night was talking about how to throw your line out further, right?
Yes.
With the bazooka.
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty much what you'd have to get to the water there. So, you know, again, I hear that, but you know, you can't imagine what all would be involved. Forget about the dollars and cents part of it, but I mean, we'd have to extend the pier probably 3,000 feet at this point.
Or bring the Gulf north.
Well, that's true, too. That's probably an even bigger challenge. So I don't know that that's going to be happening anytime soon, but I get it. It was there and when I was growing up as a kid and most of my adult life. But, you know, maybe Mother Nature will change her mind at some point and the pier will reemerge. But at this point, you know, going back to the Corps again, they are in the process as we speak of dumping almost 3 million cubic yards of beach quality sand just off from the pier. And so this is part of that Northwest extension mm-hmm. of the Sand Island Beneficial Use Area, otherwise known as SABUA.
Well, I didn't know the acronym. Now I can throw that around.
Right, which we worked that, again, over the years, working with the Corps to try to get them to move the sand closer to Dolphin
Island. Because it used to be, you and I talked about it, used to be offshore.
Way out there.
Yeah,
way out there. Where it was, we felt like, and of course people would argue about it, but we felt like it was pretty much lost from the system, you know. And mm-hmm. so we kept saying, hey, move it closer. And they did that.
Look at the build-up. Look how much.
Right. But to the buddy's point about the pier, what we're doing now by putting the sand closer to Dolphin Island, we're probably reassuring the fact that the pier won't be back in the water for a long, long time.
Well, to me, that's a fair bargain to have it like that. And also to think about, and I know you're talking about these projects, other places to, when the Corps says, hey, we're going to have some beach quality sand, where to put it. But as it aggregates there by the pier on mm-hmm. this end of the island, it does end up help people down to the west.
Yes. I mean, generally along the North Gulf Coast, the sand moves from east to west.
Yeah.
But what we're seeing in that area, it doesn't move. It's not moving as fast as we'd all like to see it.
Sure.
But yes, it is. It does help, and it's a good thing. But this programmatic permit I spoke about earlier, we're going to be looking at dumping sand further west, putting it more where it's needed in that part of the project, and that's what we're looking for. And I'll say this too, Sean. I think some of you all, your listeners certainly know some of the living shorelines that we just constructed here in Allo Bay.
Yeah.
You know, right here by the rodeo site. Part of that is as the Corps dredges the Allo Bay channel, we would likely have that material pumped in behind those living shorelines. So that'll be part of ongoing beneficial use as well.
It's just amazing to see, and we talk about what happened at Graveline Bay, but just coming down here, you know, it's and building that marsh out there. I mean, I like it for two factors, obviously environmentally, but number two, when we have a little storm or something like that, we don't have to get front-end loaders to push trees off the road.
You're right. I mean, that's one of those things I say, you know, it checks multiple boxes. It's great for habitat restoration, protecting our roadway, and all those other good things. I mean, we're doing multiple things with the same dollar, and I think that's really good projects.
Well, it's good that you're growing the island like this because you invited a bunch of people down for rodeo and for the 4th. Right, what a great, and we'll come back from the break. We'll talk more about that. But just down here for Independence Day, as always, and just another great fireworks show and great turnout from the folks coming down. So,
yeah,
it's Alabama's Sunset Capital right here on Dolphin Island. Mayor's with me. We'll be right back.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. Midday Mobile. We are live on Dauphin Island for the 92nd annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo and talking to the boss here on Dauphin Island, mayor of the town of Dauphin Island, Jeff Collier. Let's talk, you know, we talked environmental stuff. Let's talk about the other side. And, you know, with the, we talk about after the oil spill and the silver lining to that very gray cloud. Talk about the environmental projects that y'all have done here. Mm-hmm. But the recruitment of tourism, mm-hmm. I mean, you done good.
Yeah, I think we have, and you know, I think honestly, I've always felt like we do a lot of things right, but what I'm saying is, I've always said Dauphin Island sells itself. Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer of that. I think the just having the ferry system here, where people drive through to get on the ferry, not intending to come back or stay at Dauphin Island, but when they drive through, they kind of take a second look and say, "Wow, this is a pretty neat place here. We got to come back." And so, you know, obviously, island native. I'm a big believer in Dauphin Island, but I really believe it's what Dauphin Island is, that would bring people back. And of course, you know, we've had to do a lot of work as a council to try to, you know, I'll say keep things in check to some extent, trying not to let it overdevelop and keep it that nice, laid back, family friendly environment. Which I personally, maybe I'm biased, but I think we've done a pretty darn good job of it.
I'm your biggest fan, so you know, I love it. And nice thing too, and you've talked about it, whether. Yeah, you're talking about Mayor Kraft or Mayor Kennan. They've got their thing, and that's good. And you celebrate that. This is different.
Yes.
You know, there's different brands down here for how people want to enjoy their time on the beach.
It is. And I've always said, too, you know, to have such diverse communities in close proximity in one state, that's a big benefit not only to the region but to the entire state, because we're not competing for tourism. You know, we're actually bringing in a different type of clientele. And so I just think it's great. I mean, we've got our little niche. You know, we're a very unique community. You don't see these kind of communities along the coast that often anymore. Most of them have gone, sold a condo and traffic and all that stuff. And so, you know, we've found a way to be successful and still kind of remain and have that identity that people like about us.
Well, it's a hard seesaw to balance. I mean, you got to keep growth. If you're not going forward, you're going backwards, whatever the old thing is. But you keep it being Dauphin Island.
It is.
And the difference I've seen on the economic side is the number of businesses that are here and are staying open year-round. I mean, it's a testament.
Well, it is. And, of course, you know, obviously rodeo is a big boost for them as well. But the other thing, you know, that talking about our businesses, I mean, that's something that's unique as well. I mean, almost every one of our businesses are not only locally owned, but those folks live here, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, so they're residents as well as business owners. And that's something that makes Dauphin Island a little bit different as well. I mean, other than Circle K and Chevron and a Subway sandwich place, I mean, everything else is locally owned, and I think that's something else that makes Dauphin Island kind of stand out from the rest.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't know who the Chevron thing, I'll consider the breakfast there local. That Chevron breakfast is strong.
Yeah, well, it is.
I mean, big line in there this morning, too.
Think of that thing. I agree. Yeah, no problem there. But I mean, as far as the company name, the logo, you will. But yeah, they're good folks and put out a good product.
How's golf cart thing doing?
You know, I drive around a lot, obviously, and I'm thinking, you know, sometimes I think there's more golf carts than regular vehicles.
You said it.
And that's not a bad thing. And, you know, right. I kind of look at them. I mean, some people get mad because some of them are only going like 20 miles an hour or whatever. But I say, hey, I just look at them as a rolling speed bump, you know. So we get complaints about speeders. So these golf carts are kind of helping slow folks down. So, no, I think it fits the Dauphin Island charm and character. I really do.
Because people have their vehicle. It's not like they had no other. They choose to get on the golf cart, not their vehicle. And I ride with a buddy of mine who has. It's fun. I enjoy it.
It is. It's neat. And it's, you know, sometimes it's a little challenging for our officers, you know, to make sure that, you know, that not that they're doing it, but they're doing it safely, you know, to make sure that the kids are properly strapped in and those kind of things. So there's a few little challenges with it, but mostly, I think it's a positive thing. And, you know, the other thing we're seeing, talking about vehicles in the water, is kayaks. You know, we just opened the new kayak launch out here at the Christopher Blankenship Ecotourism.
You hear that, Chris? We're going to call you Christopher again.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway, so we've got, kayaks now in the last handful of years have really grown, you know, the popularity of them. And so That's good stuff, too. So we're heading in a good direction.
It is great. I mean, just we talk about the launches for big boats and for kayaks. And everything back there at Graveline Bay too, and it's just it's awesome to like literally see the island grow physically with the with the amount of sand, amount of marsh getting bigger.
It is, and and like you alluded to, we've got to keep the island sustainable both environmentally and economically, and those are intrinsically tied together. And so, striking that right balance is something that's a constant thing for us. But again, I think so far, knocking on wood, we're heading down a good path.
See, Mayor, you mentioned environment, and I just looked up, and the scientists have descended on the mobile command unit. So coming up, they're going to come talk some science.
Good deal.
When we come back. Mayor, thank you, as always.
Thank you for having me, Sean.
There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile, live from the 92nd Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Glad to have y'all along on this Friday. And let me, as we get into this, too, this text here. So traffic, we've had some traffic texts earlier today about I-65, but Jim in Georgetown said, "Hey, Sean, we're heading down the island in a couple hours. When's traffic supposed to pick up for the rodeo? Or is it all day, or is it nonstop?" Now, in studio, I know they're scientists, but they also spend a lot of time around this rodeo. Dr. Marcus Dryman, Dr. Sean Powers, I know you spend your time up under there weighing fish, but when would you say the peak activity on that site? When you turn, if you ever turn around and look, instead of looking towards the weigh docks, busiest day for traffic here?
I would say it starts building around 3. It kind of hits its height around 5 or 6.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, I still remind people it is traffic on Dolphin Island. I mean, it's not like you're in the D.C. Beltway or anything
right,
like that.
Right. It's not Atlanta traffic. No. Yeah. But, yeah, there'll be and then, of course, depends if you're talking about northbound or southbound, you know, certain times. Now, I'll tell you right now, Sunday afternoon, northbound, it's going to be slow going because we're all trailering boats back and all that. But it's come on down, Jim. The traffic is fine. What y'all think? Day one.
Yeah.
What y'all think day one so far? I mean, what do we have? 5 a.m. to now? I don't know. We're 5-6 hours into this thing.
I mean, slow, as you would expect. Fridays are usually slow. You know, the difference is we usually have a bunch of people waiting for an original surge. When we open at 10, so from 10 to 10:30, we're pretty busy, particularly at the live weigh-in station. And we haven't seen that today, and I think that's because people were dodging storms.
Yeah.
The other reason is, especially with inshore, and you know this, with this cloud cover, I think a lot of people are fishing for longer.
Fishing was good. I mean, we were commenting this morning. We're speckled trout fishing, and we were commenting this morning that it was on 9:30 or 9 o'clock this morning. We're like, it looks like it's 45 minutes after daylight. You know, in shallow water, still low light, and fishing was still good. So,
and it's amazing temperature out here. Usually, we were joking about it. I beg to come and sit in your van at least. Talking to you is just something I have to do.
Right, to get the air conditioning.
But it's a glorious day. The overcast. It's perfect temperature now. Obviously, the people offshore wouldn't agree with my sentiments, but
yeah. Well, you want to ask Mike Ward when he gets back on Sunday what he thought he's staying offshore. All right, we talking about fish that have come in. You said slow, and having Sharkus with us, Dr. Marcus Driver. It's so no sharks yet.
no sharks yet. You know, we're always watching for them, waiting for them. We usually hear that they will be there before they actually get there, so that kind of builds the excitement for us. But no, we expect to see them any moment now, you know, later this afternoon. And if not today, certainly tomorrow and Sunday for sure.
Do a lot of fish overnight for sharks?
Yeah, that's what I think, you know. So like Sean said, we were surprised a little bit that there wasn't that initial pulse. I expected to see a shark when I showed up this morning from the folks that were out there early. But yeah, they'll hit it hard tonight, fish all night, and that's when we'll see. We'll have sharks waiting for us tomorrow morning.
What do you think? I mean, thinking about that growing up, people did shark fish at night. Are they any more active at night than they are during the day?
That's such an interesting question. That was the old dogma, right? Is that they feed at night. And there's a little bit of truth to that. And particularly for some species, they're more likely to feed at night. But I think it's just one of those things that you do because that's what your dad and them did,
right.
Granddad. So I don't think there's a ton of rationale for it. But the folks that do it catch big old sharks, so they know what they're doing.
You know, and we'll talk about sizes and species here, but something came up the other day, a discussion of density on sharks, and that, you know, we're here in the Fertile Crescent. We have a density of a lot of fish because of the nutrients in the water. Do we have, as you talk about recovery for sharks, are we a shark rich area? If you picked somewhere that was low energy, like the Caribbean or something, but everybody thinks the Caribbean, they think sharks probably because they can see them in the water. Whereas, are we more dense in other areas with sharks, or where do we stand?
The answer is yes. I mean, and really, you nailed it. We're in the Fertile Crescent. You know, there's ample prey. It's just a perfect place to be a shark. And with these populations having started to recover or fully recovered, we're seeing what populations of sharks probably looked like 30 years ago. So, yes, if you're a shark, the northern Gulf of Mexico is a great place to be.
Okay, so we do, because people think if you said, hey, I want to go see sharks, right, we're going to the Caribbean. We're going to see sharks there. We're going to, you know, off Nantucket, we're going to see sharks. But can you say that we have a higher density of sharks than those kind of places?
It's interesting. I just came from the society, the American Elasmobranch Society. That's
the what?
Yeah, folks that study sharks.
Okay.
And so I just came from there last week, and we were literally having this conversation, which is you don't have to go to Palau or Hawaii or Nantucket or Southern California if you want to see big sharks. We've got them right here, Orange Beach, Gulf Shores, you know, Pensacola. Big, big sharks that you can see in really, really pretty water.
This question coming in from Billy said, whether or not you feel like we are a nursery ground for sharks.
Yeah, the answer is absolutely yes, we are. Certain species more than others.
Sharks that are here, but they will travel other parts of the Gulf after they get a certain size? Or
yes. Bull sharks are a great example. Mobile Bay specifically is a demonstrated nursery area for bull sharks, and it's because it's the perfect habitat. I'm sure, Sean, I'm sure you've caught, you know, plenty of those little bull sharks up in the bay. That's because that's their nursery.
And tigers as well, right?
Yes. And tigers are interesting because they don't use those same discrete inshore nurseries, but offshore, 20, 30 miles offshore somewhere, we catch so many baby, what we call neonate tiger sharks. So definitely an area that's an important nursery for tiger sharks, too.
And you can, that's crazy. Explain, so, you can see the umbilical scar on some of them, right?
Yes, particularly a bull shark. If you catch, next time you catch a little bull shark, anybody in Mobile Bay, flip it over, look at its belly, you'll see what's a little line, like a little incision right between those two big fins, the pectoral fins. And that's literally like the belly button. And so
that's
if you
what
see
that, is.
That yeah, if you see that, you know it was born less than a year ago. And depending on how wide that incision is, you'll see it close after a couple months. But sometimes you'll catch them, and that incision is fresh. Or sometimes there's even a little piece of skin hanging off of it, meaning it was born like a week ago.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. So
a nursery ground, being the bull sharks we're talking about, or tigers, that are being born here are ending up, they're not just resident, they're going to be heading to Venice or Brownsville or Tampa.
All three, yes. They move across the Gulf, you know. And it's interesting, we don't tend to catch the really big bull sharks inside Mobile Bay. It's just the small ones. You got to move further offshore to get the bigger ones. So there's a real partitioning there, you know. The big guys stay away from the little guys and vice versa, which makes sense.
Do you think it's food wise that drives that?
I do. Yep. And salinity. The larger bull sharks have less affinity for those more fresh waters, whereas the young ones, it's just perfect for them.
Yeah, and it makes sense because if you are a juvenile bull shark or a juvenile tiger shark, the only thing you're essentially worried about is a bigger shark.
Is your cousins.
That's right.
Yeah. It's tough being a shark.
Yes, it is.
Let's talk also of, you know, the conversation. We'll get to some other species, but, you know, we can't sit here and not talk snapper.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of the reviews of so far in the snapper season. I was reviewed. I got some questions today about, you know, how I felt about snapper populations and size and all that. And it's something you've talked about in the past. You can have X amount of biomass, right? This tonnage we talk about. And people often say, Sean, how many fish is that? I'm like, it depends. It's a tonnage of fish. You can manage different ways. And I know you're in the science department. Our friend Scott Bannon's in the management department. But you can have more days but smaller fish probably, or fewer days and larger fish. Is that, I mean, I know it's probably oversimplified, but is that?
It is. You know, and one of the things we're doing with the survey, and we're going to do this broader because we have, this isn't a random sample of fishermen. It's more avid fishermen. But we wanted to figure out, you know, we've been told by several that, listen, what people are most concerned about is number of days that they can go out. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of our perception of what we're detecting, but we've never tested that. So Dr. Steven Cyphers, who does a lot of human dimensions and fisheries, has a group out here posing that question, you know, what do you think of the snapper fishery right now? What's your preference? Number of days or average size? And it's early. The interesting thing is it's totally either extreme. We're not seeing either gradient. It's either, yes, we want lots of days. No, we want bigger average size. There's a question that says, well, how many days would you give for this increase in average size? And it's pretty much polarized. Now, that's a small sample. We'll hopefully have a lot more. Dr. Dryman's done a lot of surveying as well at the rodeo. And we're going to use that to figure out the way we detect whether the average size is sufficient in the fishery. It's usually just based on pounds. You know, where can we maximize the harvest? But on recreational fisheries, that doesn't work because you're really trying to maximize satisfaction. Mm-hmm. If the population is healthy, you have tons of recruits that, like we do here, then we need to tell management, hey, how do you maximize satisfaction? And that's very different way. Historically, it's always been, where do we get the maximum yield? Mm-hmm. What's the best average size to optimize pounds in the fishery? And that's still true for commercials. But for recreationals, you know, it really is trying to figure out, where is that satisfaction? That's the same thing Dr. Dryman has been polling people on sharks. You know, we're getting healthy populations. Now we can give the managers options to kind of figure out, where do you get the most satisfied fishermen? Realizing that you're not going to please everybody.
No, of course not.
So,
and we get to that when we come back from the break on the shark side. But you know, on the snapper side here, I was surveyed, so I don't want to ruin the survey. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, I was more days, and I think it comes from this idea that, and maybe it's antiquated for me, that I can go find keeper fish. Just give me more days, more opportunities to go. You know, give me more days so I can find, even though in reality I have this, you know, we've had the quota go on into the fall, and I've kicked myself in the butt for not fishing it. Well, you know, once school's back and all that stuff, it's been a little bit harder. But I think if there are more days, and I have no science on this, but if there's more days, people feel less motivated to go on any given day. They still want to go, but you don't get the crush of people because it's not pressing.
You're right, and I think maybe that's what Colonel Bannon, his feedback is and all that. And as we've talked about, a lot of times science is just proving the obvious. But we want data on this. And, you know, we have heard from more fishermen that, you know, they're concerned, even though the average size has actually been ticking up in the number of discards that we see is slowly decreasing for a legal size snapper. You know, where is that optimal spot? But you're right. I mean, fishermen like you. So we also test in one of the reasons you have those earlier questions is we want to test, record what your avidity is.
Yes.
So, you know, are we...
I scored high.
Are you a diehard fisherman who always does it, or are you one of the fishermen that only goes out once or twice? Because we assume that's going to influence your decision. But you're right. I mean, the experienced fishermen tend to say same thing. I have my better spots. I know how to fish for larger snapper. So I just want number of
days. Give me 4 days. Yeah. All right, we're coming back. More of our conversation. We're live at the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo on Dolphin Island. These guys are obviously so motivated to talk about the science of fish. It's not even hot outside, and they came in the van, so it's a good thing. Be right back. Get your questions to the text line at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, so welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile live from the 92nd Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Dr. Powers, Dr. Drymond, and you and your questions. This one coming in as we get started. First of all, though, actually, this is for Marcus. Irish Indian on the text line says, need to tell the doctor and everybody else, if you catch a bull shark and roll him over and tickle his belly, he might bite you. So there's science coming.
That's fair. Yes.
You tickle his belly.
No tickling.
That's right. Let's see. Billy saying bull sharks and sharp nose. Sharp nose is almost like the cockroaches of the Gulf right now.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We see all these different population trends with these different sharks. We're seeing something interesting with sharp-nosed sharks. We don't see them as much as we used to, whether it's the adult females are moving further offshore or the males are not coming inshore as early as they do. But, you know, we expect these trends to wax and wane, and we're seeing kind of an interesting one with sharp-nosed right now.
This question here, let's see, how do you feel about venting snapper in order to get them to go back down? Do you think it's a good thing or is it a bad thing?
So I'll start first. So venting, you should absolutely vent. Absolutely. Unless you have a descender.
But you have to, and people have to know where they're venting them here. Once again, it's a specific,
correct.
You know.
You want to hit the swim bladder. I mean, it's usually pretty easy to see. I mean, they can go on.
But they don't want to hit it where it comes out the mouth. You got to go
inside.
So, yeah.
So yeah, just if the stomach or something like that is, they're going to have to go into the abdominal cavity.
And there's stuff online too if you don't know right where to do the vent. But that's, and you'll hear the.
So yes, if you do it correctly, you should hear the venting. But there's other options now in addition to venting or venting, and Marcus has been involved in a lot of these projects, so I'll let him.
Yeah, you know, and I agree with Sean. Do something if you're going to release a fish that has signs of barotrauma, whether that's venting or using a descender device. So a descender device is a great option. If you've got it rigged up already on your boat, use that descender device to return that fish to the depth where it was captured. It's, for many anglers, it's a better option than venting. But again, the idea is if you've caught a fish that has barotrauma, do something.
So now, and I never did, do you vent and descend, or do you just descend?
You can. The advice, though, is to just descend. So we've got thousands.
Because it's going to get it back to the same equilibrium where it was in the swim bladder.
You got
it. Back neutral.
Yep. Yeah. We've got thousands of videos showing that even with a fish whose stomach is distended and whose eyes are bulging and whose scales are fizzing, if you put it on that descender device, the video shows the fish as it goes back down to depth, all of that stuff fixes itself. So without the need to puncture or anything like that.
Yeah, we're going to run out of time, but I mean, I started thinking, we're talking about snapper and doing that. That's what, but if I catch a snowy grouper,
sure.
You know, or
yep.
Yellow edge, I mean, people doing descenders for those, out of those kind of dips?
They are. The current off-the-shelf descending devices won't take it past about 150 feet before it releases. But they do make, you know, kind of special models that will do that, or just different types of descender device. We use the Sequelizer a lot, but there's several other devices that are even easier to use, arguably, and they can be used for deeper depths.
All right. As we wrap up here, we'll remind everybody that I'm going to have to get these guys in the air condition again tomorrow during FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors from 11 to noon. Maybe by then we'll have some unusual fish come in. Do you think? I'm not saying winter, but I mean, you think our unusuals are all on Sunday.
When? Maybe we can talk about some sharks and some unusuals.
We'll do that. Y'all, thanks for coming in.
No problem.
Even though it's cool outside, you still came in, so I appreciate that. All right, coming back, more Midday Mobile. I think we rounded up some JCs. I saw them wandering around the van. They'll be in with us next. Plus, we'll get your text at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile live from Dolphin Island for the 92nd Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Day one, and I tell you what, y'all could probably tell me how many hours. Cannon goes off. By the way, President Coleman Moore, Director of Everything Fun, J.T. Loper, and we're 6 hours in, whatever it is.
As far as fishing goes, yeah, we'll call it about 7-8 hours now. 5 a.m., the lines hit the water at the Cannon Blast, or so they are supposed to, at least, and then Way Station opened at 10.
I think I had just left the Chevron with the breakfast at 5. I was running a little behind schedule, but we still got out and went fishing. Breakfast, you know, what you going to do?
We have two breakfasts on that time. We have a 5 a.m. breakfast for those that want to eat it then, and then we have our breakfast about 9 a.m. again when we come back. So, yeah, it's one of those things. We get up and we come blow the cannon, and everybody goes back to bed for 2 hours as much needed.
No joke. I mean, coming from last night, great turnout for Liars Contest.
It was. I think
that's one of the biggest turnouts we've had in a very long time.
I haven't seen that many people. I mean, I'm thinking that it almost looked like the Maui's the last time we had it here, and it was just for a Liars Contest, so I can't wait to see what happens tonight. It looks like the weather's holding off a little bit. We might get a touch of it here this afternoon again, but then tonight looks great.
Yeah, I keep watching the radar, and it's like Mayor Collier and I talked about last hour. What I've seen down here right now is just like what you would see in July. It rains sometimes, and there's a thunderstorm, then it stops, and it gets hot, and then it rains, and then it stops, and it gets hot.
This morning, if it had stayed like that all weekend, I wouldn't have minded.
Oh, it was nice.
It was perfect. So
nice and cool. So let's talk about, we'll get to the fishing, come back to it in a second. Entertainment-wise, you said it, you talked about it when we were in studio. There's a chance y'all will sink Dolphin Island tonight with your musical guest.
Yeah, we're going to try. It may be raining and too many people here. We might really sink Dolphin Island tonight. But I feel like they're going to show up one way or the other. We're ready for them.
That's the Molly Ringwalds.
That's the Molly Ringwalds, and they will start, I said, as soon as the Way Station horn sounds, right? I think 7 o'clock.
About 7:30. 7:30, they're going to play for a couple hours.
Yeah, they'll play. They say they're going to play nonstop, but we'll see.
Yeah, we're going to see. I'm going to have my stopwatch.
We'll test them.
Okay. And you know, you had the band last night, The Wrong Turns, and then you got music, not just those, you got music throughout the weekend.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Who plays
Hamilton
on Saturday?
Hamilton Gardner will play on Saturday, and we'll have the big reveal at 3 o'clock on Sunday, right before we wrap things up with that 5 p.m. Cannon Blast.
And it's, that's going to be good, because at that point, then I'm going to be that much closer to winning that contender. So.
That's right. That's what the anglers are looking for. I'm looking for us to blow that horn today, because then I've officially had a tournament, and I'm a past president. Instead of a president, I don't have to worry about anything anymore.
It's something and I love to talk about what y'all do, the charity that y'all do, your volunteer organization.
Yes.
But JC's for a little recruiting thing here. I mean, who are y'all? What do y'all do?
Yeah, so we're the Mobile JC's. It's a junior chamber. The rodeo is a project of the JC's. We put on the Greater Gulf State Fair, as well as the Azalea Trail Mazer project of the Mobile JC's, and Alabama TC Fishing Rodeo. A lot of us volunteer for more than one. A lot of us are, you know, one or the other, but like, you know, me and JT will help out with the fair and things like that, but we're mainly, you know, strictly rodeo. We're all volunteers. We have two meetings a month, 12 months out of the year, so as soon as we're done with this, as soon as we're done with the award ceremony on Monday night, the following Monday we have our first meeting of the new year. And we'll elect a new president in the first month, a new board in the second, and then we'll keep rolling from there. But it's a good time. Like, so we We have Christmas parties, crawfish bowls, family days. We do Mardi Gras now down here, the People's Parade.
Yeah.
As well as the, you know, charitable events like the kids shopping tour, which all comes from the proceeds of the Roy Martin Young Anglers. That goes back to the kids shopping tour. We take underprivileged kids shopping for their families.
Yeah, listen to it for a second, because people miss that. There's and I love the programs where they get toys for the kids.
Yes.
I love those. But the nuance of what y'all do is what I think is cool. This one is different, that you're taking the kids not to get them a gift.
Right. They don't buy for themselves. They buy for their moms, dads, brothers, uncles, cousins. But, yeah, they have a certain amount, you know, given to them based on how we do in the kids' tournament. And they get to go shopping and get a gift for a significant other or a family member or a thing like that, not for themselves. So we really enjoy
that pride.
That.
I mean, I remember, like, the first time you could save up enough nickels when you were a kid to buy whatever goofy gift it is, and your parents are like, that is very sweet of you. You
know,
like,
yes.
There's something great. I love that y'all do that. But, yeah, and the people getting into, like, if you're recruiting people to get into JC's, I mean, who are you looking for?
Yeah, I mean, obviously ages 21 to 40. I mean, don't get in a month before you turn 40. You won't be able to enjoy it. We won't get anything out of you. But if you're over the age of 21 years old, we urge you to reach out to us or come down this weekend and say you'd like to volunteer, whether it's picking up trash or, you know, working the docks or just checking out how the weigh station is. We love everybody to come down and see if you enjoy it, see if you like it. We've started doing numerous recruiting events throughout the year, so you can kind of pay attention on our Facebook groups and see when we're going to do that. We did a couple this year. We did one at a South baseball game. The Senior Bowl we were set up had people to come down there, and a few at AH quarters. Where else did we do the Icebox downtown? We did one at Icebox downtown one time. So there's lots of recruiting events, not community events, but lots of ways to get involved. But one of the big ones is just coming down here and working and seeing how you like it, or coming to our meetings once a month, twice a month, and seeing if you enjoy it, seeing if you fit in with what we deem as the rodeo family, because we are just one big family.
Yeah, because not just y'all down here, you got your wives and girlfriends down here,
kids,
as well.
Rodeo kids with all their shirts on. That being the president this year, they always run up there, hey, rodeo daddy, it's all. At first you feel a little awkward vibe, but then you get used to it. Everybody's rodeo daddy this year, so they're all my kids. But yeah, we enjoy it. It's a good time. We're all very close to each other. It's not just about this one event this year, this time of year. We are together all year long doing something.
All right, questions from the text line. Do y'all have any shirts left?
We do. I will get down here tonight or tomorrow because they are going. Like I said, we get a lot of people saying we don't order enough shirts, but I promise y'all we order more and more shirts every year. But we are not a brick and mortar store. We are a 3-day tournament, and we don't want any leftovers. What are we going to do with leftovers? So our goal is to sell out, and we are selling record numbers. Our t-shirt guys set 2 records already between kids' tournament and last night, so they're going to sell out.
That's good stuff. Yep. Okay, yeah, I've always wanted to ask this question of anybody who sells t-shirts. What's the most popular size? Is it all XLs?
It's got to be extra large.
I mean, just medium? Who's getting a medium?
Yeah, it's funny you say that because, smalls, we always got a lot left over.
Yeah.
Some of the years that people will be getting a small adult instead of a large kid shirt because they're kind of the same size.
Right.
But you want a pocket or not, so sometimes we'll get rid of those. But, yeah, I'd say large, extra large are definitely. But
so more of those than the other?
And I might be wrong. There might be some 2X and 3Xs to go first because
some big.
Yes. We got a big crowd. We'll say that.
That's right now, quote of the rodeo.
What's the saying? They come big at the Alabama DC.
They do. They
3X.
Do. Yes, they do.
3X shirts. And also, we talk about what's going on inside where the shirts are, the air conditioned portion of the rodeo site, and your vendors in there, too. A lot of, every year. It's pretty good for business because it gets hot and people go in there to visit and get to see different kind of retailers in there.
It's a planned thing.
Yeah, I know it is.
We're going to sit in the AC and let you hang out, do a little shopping, and as soon as you walk out on the site, walk around for a minute. Let's go back in there. I saw some AC in there. I'm going to go hang out.
Yeah, they're more eager to spend money in there because of the AC's in there.
I think
for
the heat also messes with your brain a little bit. Makes you
See, now we know. Now we know the formula to it.
It is. You get your shirt soaking wet, walking around the road. It's like you go buy one, put on a clean shirt.
This is playing sales.
All right. We answered that. They're asking if any sharks should come in. As of second go, they had not.
No, even not yet.
All right. So no sharks in yet.
Yeah, you'll start seeing your sharks and your big ones start rolling in generally Saturday afternoon and pretty much all day.
So, and especially, again, we'll go back, we'll roll back to that W word. It's looking good. I think after today, it's going to be smooth sailing. Then they will be having
And I'm thinking about sea conditions. I mean, people focus on rain. Unless it's lightning, rain doesn't bother me. It's just sea conditions, and it's supposed to be better. Yeah, I did see when I was weighing in this morning, the folks weighing in that King. They were in a 21-foot bay boat. They went out front. That's dedication to it. Let's see the So Molly Ringwald's for tonight. I'm just trying to go through y'all's questions here. And all this is online too, right? They can find the schedule.
Yeah, definitely monitor the Facebook page for any kind of announcements or anything like that, any updates. We're always going live with our sponsors and taking questions. If you got any questions about what's going on on radio, you can shoot a message on Facebook and also call the JC phone number if you have any questions regarding the tournament.
What happens to the fish in the live tank after the rodeo?
In our live weigh-in tank?
Yeah.
We release the live weigh-in right here at our docks. We keep them in the tank for a certain amount of time each day, and we'll release them throughout the day back. And by the end of the night, they're all back in the bay right there. And we'll
that's why I set up here fish right here at the dock. That's
right. That is a good spot to do it.
Let's see. The boat this year is a it's a contender. It's always
26 foot contender.
It got bigger.
Our prize package grew without us trying to do it. You know, they stopped making the 25. Now their new one is the 26, and they said, "Well, y'all gonna get a 26." So we're working towards getting that boat back down here next year and having it available again, the one that you're actually going to take home. So they moved it up to 26, and I believe
motor went bigger.
The motor
300 Yamaha.
Yeah, it'll be powered by a 300 now. You got to have a bigger motor on it. The extra foot.
We were talking about this morning while we were fishing, and the size of boats, because I remember I'm kind of old, but not that old, when a 23, so my radio partner and my friend Mike Ward had the 23 foot Mako. And we're all down here. We'd see him come in, the 23-foot Mako. That was a big boat. Yeah, 23-foot boat. That's offshore boat. Now you got inshore boats are 25
40
feet.
40-foot center consoles.
Yes. Yeah. But, I mean, to see that come, I mean, back then, it was like, that's that 23 Mako he's in. That baby's big. All right, keep those questions coming. I think I got those answered. Now I got some questions on fish-wise, too. Snapper wise, you're good with snapper categories. You've got jackpot for snapper going on.
Yes, we ended up doing the jackpot. So,
okay. Here's a question: what about kayak fishing?
Just non-motorized division. Non-motorized.
Because I did ask this question of a president in the past. I said, if I got a wash tub, and fished out of it, I could be in the non-motorized. It doesn't have to be a kayak, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you're a part of the speckled trout jackpot in the non-motorized division.
Right, so, I mean, like a floaty.
Yeah.
You could, Unicorn was the guy that caught the sailfish. He was out there
on the floaty unicorn or whatever. You do that, get style points as well. Let's see. Okay, I think I got those answered. All right, so I'm just trying to get all the questions in here. Most unusual fish, I think I kind of pressed Dr. Powers, Dr. Dryman on that. Do they think it's going to be that third day? Do they think it's going to be tomorrow?
That is hard to say. You never know when it comes in. It's usually Saturday or Sunday, though. You're right. It usually does. So we'll see. The anglers are coming in a little slower. We just hit the 90-second angler because we did a little giveaway for it being in 90 seconds. So I know we timed that. So it took a few hours to get there. But I think tomorrow and Sunday they're going to start rolling in. And I think it's going to be a doozy Sunday afternoon with the way it's going to clear up.
Yeah.
It'll be fun for everybody but us. We'll say that.
How were ticket sales this year?
Ticket sales have been great. I will not know my numbers until they get back today. When they go pick everything up. They go to the banks and do all the important stuff. Our guys are running around and do that. But kids tournament last weekend, we set records. Kids tournament last weekend, we sold record tickets, sold record number of fish, weighed a record number of fish. So we did very good last weekend. So that means I guess we're doing a good job, promoting it and everything. But we'll just have to see with this weather the way it is. But we have our anglers that always come. So I anticipate we'll at least have a winning year, if not another record year.
Pretty dang perfect for the Roy Martin weather-wise.
Yeah, it was.
Holy cow.
It was
now, hot, but slick.
Sunday afternoon, I mean, Saturday afternoon looked like a Sunday at Big Rody out there.
Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't see it sitting on top of that weigh station, we were calling boats in for over an hour, just like we do on Sundays, just to get
for sit the
there. Just, yeah, just sitting out there. They were waiting in the bay out there for over an hour just to get in.
Yeah, go check out the Facebook page. There are some videos just to show you the traffic.
It looked just like a Sunday out there. I mean, just bumper to bumper.
That's awesome. Coming right back, more of our coverage from the 92nd Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. This is Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, so welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Hey, by the way, too, what do they say, a programming note. Let me just tell you some stuff that happens tomorrow. Programming note. Stuff happening tomorrow from 11 to noon. We'll be back here and give you an update on Saturday from the rodeo site. So you get a chance to come by and say hello, and maybe I'll have, if the sun's out and it's hot, this van will probably be full of JCs wanting to talk to me if it's hot outside and got the AC cold in here. But that'll be 11 to noon tomorrow right here on FM Talk 106.5. All right, to continue our conversation here, wrapping it up here, we have the director of all fun things, J.T. Loper, and El Presidente, the emperor of the 92nd Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, Coleman Moore. A couple things. Can we do a little update here? Can we do a little, like, what? I know there hadn't been a bunch of fish weighed
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, I mean, there have been a good bit.
But if somebody's riding down the road, just curiosity is getting the best of them. Give me some categories. Give me some weights.
We've had a lot of inshore stuff. A good bit of specks are coming in, redfish, flounder, as well as the live weigh-ins, too, are coming in. We have seen some nice king mackerel come in, surprisingly.
And like we talked about during the break, you really got to want it. If you, because it was the one that weighed in front of us. I mean, it was a smaller boat went out and to catch kings. But I saw some big jacks.
Yeah,
there were some. I saw a big jack a minute ago. Miss Sunny was working the fish box, and she was trying to hold up a big jack that was in there. It was bigger than her, so you'll always get those.
I mean, there was like a 24 or something on the board.
Yeah, it was almost 25 pounds. There's a couple of them that are right there.
And I know they all feel when you catch them, they all feel like they're 50 pounds, but when you put them on the scale. That's a good jack.
No, that's why you got to hold it a little bit closer to the camera too.
No, it's just catching them. It's just like It's funny, enjoying it so much when I was a kid catching Jack Cavalia. But as I've gotten older, somebody catches, hooks one on the boat, I'm like, oh, don't do no, 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 no. Other than the rodeo, it's like, no, I don't want any part of that.
Yeah, don't.
We'll see a lot of jacks come in, especially last weekend as well.
Did they?
Oh, yeah. Like,
let's see what else. So speckled trout, you got a good number of fish in that. You said redfish as well?
Yeah, we have a speck. Redfish and flounder, as well as live for all three, have come in as well. So the tanks
obviously
have
fish are coming in because I just opened up my Fish and Chaos app and I just got pushed way down the leaderboard. I got pushed. I don't know who just came in, but I just got pushed way down.
Yeah, there's good variety, mainly inshore stuff. You know, you got your gaff tops, your ladyfish, your bluefish, just little sheephead, Spanish mackerel coming in.
Sheephead. Somebody said there was a big sheephead came in.
Yeah, about 9 pounds.
That's a big sheephead.
That is big.
It's good variety in right now. We'll really see some things start coming in this afternoon. Like I said, once tomorrow gets here and that weather clears up, boats will start coming in. These guys are really just sitting out there waiting to see what the weather's going to do, if they have to go around it or wait or come in, what they're going to do. So,
all right. Well, we will we'll keep an eye on it here for the rodeo site. And once again, but it's a question asked earlier, but I'll bring it back up because it's a T-shirt question. You're saying
No, I'm not just saying that. I say don't wait. Yeah, we'll say don't wait. We have sold out of a lot of stuff. We've sold out of certain sizes of things, obviously. There is still plenty of stock left, though, for you to choose from. I think there's a little bit in everybody's size still right now, but by the end of the day or end of the night for sure, I can't say that.
I can imagine when people show up tonight for the Molly Ringwald show, that they'll go buy a lot of shirts.
Yes, 100%. If it's anything like last night, I mean, you know, we were shoulder to shoulder last night. We'll be knuckle to knuckle tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Once again, people want to do like what we're doing right here, keeping up on those. It's all online to see what the leaderboard is. I mean, I'm so old, I remember the days we'd hey, would you ride up there and go see what's first King, you know, what's the third in King Mackerel, and they ride back to the house and tell you, you know, it's 34.
I'm glad we don't have enough volunteers to do that anymore. You said work the tick board up there, whatever, and actually have to put it up.
Yes.
We can't do that anymore.
That's how old I am.
We're letting anybody in here. We don't have a security guy letting me.
Yes,
I'm over there.
The problem is somebody would ride up here on the bicycle or the truck and get that number, and then by the time they get back to the house, they'd forgot. You'd be like, what was third in King? It was 30. I don't remember. I'm like, dude, you just rode back.
You've been bumped by then, too.
Yeah, by then you had been bumped.
Granddaddy, you're in the lead.
Yeah, by the time you get back, the bicycle gets back to the house, you're out of the mix. We'll do it again tomorrow. Get back in here with
me
tomorrow.
We can catch back in there. I tried to get Miss Fish to come in here, but she did not want to come in here.
Why not?
I don't know. I guess she has that. She actually has a face for TV. We have a face for radio, so I guess that's why. But
we stay in the radio. Yeah,
I tried to get in here and talking about her experience with our new tradition we started that day. You saw on the news where we threw her in the water the other day.
Yeah,
they had a good day.
President.
They had a good time fishing the other day in the rain. So let's just say they did a little less fishing and a little more riding. They got back and I said, hey, y'all go grab this fish, throw her in. And old Darwin was down here filming, and I said, you're not going to miss this. And he said, well, you know, how am I going to phrase this? I said, we're starting a new tradition right now. And sure enough, he got on there and said, you're witnessing history, a new tradition. This fish is getting thrown in the water. And I said, well, now everybody's got to do it from here on out. They said it on the news. It's real.
Now it's going to be.
Wednesday of.
It's going to be. Your president gets thrown in on Sunday.
On Sunday at Cannon Blast, But we started one a few years ago. Out of the blue, about five. This is probably the sixth year. Saturday, so tomorrow, and we'll probably do it again. I don't know how many new members have, but somebody just hollered out, hey, new guys, jump in the water. It's a tradition. And they did it. And it wasn't, but now
Suckers.
5 years later, it's a tradition. So I started a new one the other day.
There you go. People being getting themselves thrown in the water or being thrown in the water at the Alabama D.C. Fishing Rodeo. Y'all come take part in it. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you.
All right, Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next.